Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arkin. Andy Hart is here as well. Not here, but you'll hear him. Just like you heard that from Evan Lazar yesterday, the take that launched the thousand ships and also got scrubbed off of the Patriots.com website. A lot of scrubbing going on all over the place. Not just there, maybe even a little bit right in here, as this thing has gotten way, as it's taken on an entire life of its own, become bigger than the story now. I mean, listen, whatever you think of Lazar's take there, it was not something that I think was going to last all the way through the weekend, Andy. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but when I first heard that, we saw it. We talked about it. We even asked Curran about it yesterday, and I kind of just thought it was this throwaway thing that maybe the Patriots would have a problem with, like, hey, don't talk about mutiny, like you're a team employee, don't be saying that, or something, but like not anything that they would take an eraser to like this and then make that the story. And now all of a sudden, I mean, everybody's got to address it. It's this whole thing. You heard Mayo talking about it today. Everybody's got to get questioned about it. It's become a much, much bigger deal than I think it ever would have been if they had just let it go and just let it die on the vine. But now here we are. And I think, Andy, that this puts a much more emphasis on this game this weekend, much more than there would have been otherwise. Now, this is a referendum not just on the Patriots and their season. I mean, I don't think anybody really thinks much of the season at this point. This is a referendum on Gerard Mayo. And can he keep this locker room together? Can he keep this locker room from completely imploding on itself? And that's what this weekend's going to be about. And it wasn't until Evan Lazar said that and the Patriots scrubbed it. Like, it's kind of amazing that it came to this.
Yeah, I don't have a great relationship with Evan Lazar, but I'm on his side totally here. He misspoke. He said a word he shouldn't have said. We talked about it yesterday. I thought mutiny was too far. Lose the locker room, fine. But mutiny, there's a certain implication, nefarious, like, oh, they're going after him. They want him out. You mentioned it.
He's going to walk McDaniels. The plank, yeah.
Right, right. But I still think, even with a poor word choice, and you and I both know, maybe better than most, that you can get emotional in this business. You start talking about things, and, you know, it can go off the rails, and mm-hmm. you say some things, whatever. Maybe you call your co-host an idiot or a dummy or something.
No, that doesn't happen ever.
No. No. But once you cover it up, scrub it, like, that just magnified the story, extended the story to the point where I was actually stunned when I clicked on Boston.com this morning and their little, like, top stories, number yeah. one. Was this, and it didn't need to be, quite honestly, it shouldn't be, but you're no doubt you are right. This puts a greater, they need a win. I thought in a way, and I meant to say this earlier in the week, but then I'm like, no, it doesn't really make sense, you dumbass, like, don't say it, but this feels like a must-win game all of a sudden, because A, I don't know how many times you're going to be favored, home, road, whoever the opponent is. You have an opportunity here. Maybe they don't even deserve to be favored, but they're indeed favored. And people are looking at this as a very winnable game for a team that has fallen on its face the last couple weeks on the road. And now you add this whole thing, which players are disputing. Karen Garigian, as she always does a good column, gets, you know, way false quote from a veteran off the record about Gerard losing the locker room. But I think this was created inside the walls of Gillette Stadium, and I don't mean by Evan Lazar
right.
doing a podcast. He said something. Okay, I lived that life for 20 years.
Yes,
was it dumb?
Did.
I would have heard it. I would have absolutely heard about it from multiple sources. I don't know what the ramifications would have been, but to scrub it? I mean, I think even today would have been easier for Gerard. If you don't scrub it, somebody at Andrew Callahan asks about it, and you say, listen, we all know what the NFL is. It's entertainment. All teams have web departments, video departments, podcast departments. We cover the team internally, and all these guys have opinions. And really, opinions are useless. I worry about the guys in my locker room. I worry about the guys in the football operations, and I've seen nothing to indicate I have anything to worry about. We're all doing our jobs under one craft umbrella. Like, that's all it needed to be. But when you scrub it, the last time I remember scrubbing was when Aaron Hernandez killed people. Like, that was a scrub. Like, photos gone, records gone,
yep.
name, like, get rid of. To me, that's what scrubbing should be left for. Crimes, scandals, things of that nature. Not, did this guy say something on a podcast that he probably shouldn't have said as a team employee? Absolutely. And I'm sure he knew it shortly thereafter. But when you scrub it, you magnify it. And the cover-up is always worse than the crime. And
yeah.
now it feels, I didn't think there was a crime until I heard the cover up. And then I'm like, you guys really seem to be protesting this quite a bit here. Is there more here than I originally thought there was?
If hot takes are a crime, then we're in trouble. I'd say. Like, that's kind of our business.
Then arrest me now.
And that was Lazar. I mean, listen, it was a hot take by Lazar. A mutiny in the locker room four weeks in. That's a hot take. I heard that, and we talked about it, and it seemed like a pretty big statement to make. Now, that's one guy's opinion. There's other people in the locker room. I hadn't heard a lot of other people saying that. And there's other people around there, other people who work for the Patriots and other people who work for other places and other outlets who are in the locker room and were there at the end of that Niners game and probably were witness to all that same frustration. I think it's important to make a distinction here, and you were just doing it a little bit, about a mutiny versus being frustrated after a loss. It wasn't just we lost and we're frustrated. Like, it was something more than that. If it was less than a mutiny, it was something more than that, at least, right?
Well, but a mutiny, again, I think it's like premeditated murder, not manslaughter. Like, you could kill this team from the inside by the locker room. Yep. There's no doubt in my mind that this team could fracture. And it was funny, because when I listened to Evan the first time, people accused me of talking fast. He's definitely a fast talker. He was. I was wondering if that was Brian speeding up the tape again like he did for us. But when he first said it, he was like, the offense is mad at the offense and the defense is mad at the defense. And I was wondering, did he mean the opposite? Did he mean defense? And then I was like, no, he's talking about Devon Godshaw saying, we are free. You know, we're right. Greedy. We're, you know, playing for ourselves.
Guys have been selfish. Yes.
Right. The selfish nature of the offense. Guys wanting the ball. And I was like, oh, yeah. So he's talking about the internal issues with each unit. Because usually don't we worry about first and foremost is what we talked about last year. The defense is mad at the offense or vice versa. Because
right.
One is doing their job and one isn't. And
right.
We'd be winning games if you jackals over there could finally start doing your job. He's talking about more that the units, but
when everybody sucks, there's
right.
Nothing you can't get mad at
we
the
all
other
suck.
Side. Yeah.
We're all losing.
Right.
We've said, you know, special teams, you get your own bus. You guys go your own way. You seem to have done a pretty nice job for most of the year. The other two groups, you're on the loser's bus because you guys have led to losing. But I don't like, there's issues with this culture. You know, I know Tom Curran defended it earlier in the week to Jones and Keith. The culture is finding its way. And I saw somebody on Twitter, and I'd like to credit them, but I can't remember who it was. So you know you were right, and you had a good point. But if your locker room is exploding in week four of the first season, it's not the coach. It's the people.
Right.
That means you have too many, like, bad guys, non-locker room guys. Because as Curran said yesterday, and I believe this, I've always believed this on all teams, in most businesses, most companies, the 80% in the middle is just going to kind of be the cows that roam one way or the other. And then you got the 10% that are good pulling in the right direction, the 10% bad, and you got to weed out the 10% bad and squash them. But if you're falling apart in week four, after, by the way, you Gatorade showered your coach in week one.
Right.
So it's really only 3 weeks later,
yeah.
And one of those was a winnable game. So really 2 weeks, 10 days, you're falling apart, then you didn't create the roster, the culture, or the leadership crew or anything like that that you thought you did, because that's really bad and really fast.
Yeah, it's very, very fast. It's a very quick drop-off. And it's funny, too, because usually when there's problems in a locker room, it's some guy's holding out and he's not getting paid or, you know, something like that. There's none of that here. Everybody got paid. No one's waiting on some big contract and holding out and ruining it for everybody. Judon did for maybe a little bit, and they shipped his ass out of here. Now, that's not happening right now. You have a bunch of guys who are all paid and happy and probably, you know, some in some cases right now feel like they're stealing money a little bit with some of the performances you're seeing from these guys who got extended. But either way, that's not the case here. You're just looking at plain old frustration from a dysfunctional team that can't really get it together on either side of the ball, except special teams. Special teams, they're killing it. Other
yep.
than that, though, it has been a mess. Gerard Mayo, you mentioned this. He was asked about it today, and this was his reaction to the questions about the mutiny.
No, look, for our, you know, my focus is definitely on the Dolphins, 100%, and the guys in the locker room. So I haven't heard that, and I mean, that's journalism for you. I'm not sure.
But it's from the team, so I wanted to check with another team employee here.
No, like I said, like, I haven't heard that, and try not to pay attention to that stuff. So you got to ask him.
Does it feel like there's frustration in the locker room?
I mean, it's always frustrating when you're not winning. You know, the guys put a lot of work in, and everyone wants to try to find a solution right now while we're going through this transition. So, you know, people are definitely frustrated, and that's a normal human response.
Very okay, normal, very human, yes.
Can the Patriots.com Andy pop out for just a minute?
Sure.
When you say it's from the team, it isn't. And we all know it isn't. We all know that Evan Lazar is not on football staff, correct? He's not front office. He's not an assistant coach.
No.
He's not.
He's part of the team media network.
Kraft Sports Productions.
Yes, right.
He's a media guy. Mm-hmm. Evan Lazar is far closer to you and I than he is to Gerard Mayo or Elliot Wolf or Alex Van Pelt or whoever is scout, right?
Yeah.
And I get sensitive to that because I lived it for years that, oh, the team did it. No, I did it, you jackal, and I'm a reporter. I'm an analyst. I'm whatever you want to call me. The team didn't do it. And I think most people are well aware of that. They clamp onto it to create a story because they know they can. Oh, it's on Patriots.com. That's team produced. Like, oh, my God. Well, it's not. It really isn't. It's a guy doing his job as a media member. There's a reason those guys enter the media room the same as all the reporters, and they don't come through the door where Gerard Mayo and Stacey James come from, because they work actually for the team. They are part of the team, football staff. The rest are not. They're part of the entertainment arm, and that kind of annoys me. Also,
well, Kraft signs the checks. I mean, let's not completely ignore that. Like, it is, it's like Henry owning the Globe and sort of all these other things. It's there's an implication a lot of times, and I think especially when it comes to team media like RedSox.com or Patriots.com, whatever it is, that it's going to be a little lighter on the tee. It's not going to be quite so critical,
and it usually is. Gonna
be, and it's generally how it is. Yes.
Yeah, and again, I lived that life for years, and I think that's why some people are like, oh my God, if he admitted it, it's 10 times worse than a mutiny,
right?
Because he would never admit it, because we have this perception that team media is going to be positive. Not even just team media, but by extension, I think people think our Red Sox coverage, for example, because we're a partner, or NBC Sports Boston's coverage, because they're a partner, is going to be positive. And so that's where I agree with it. There is going to be a perception that if Patriots.com is saying a mutiny, we're teetering on a mutiny, then the riots have already begun and the coup has already begun. You know what I mean? Like that, it's got to be even worse than that, because they normally wouldn't say that. But again, I think you have to go back to, had it not been scrubbed, had it not been removed, I think most people, because that's the other thing.
So why'd they scrub it then? Why did they feel, you know the people there, you know how they think. Why did they think that that was such a bad thing?
Because it was a dumb thing to say and they didn't want it. But I think,
if that's a crime, you got to lock us all up.
Right. My guess is they regret it. My guess is they regret the
step. Guessing that too, yeah.
That they wish they could go back, because the other reality is it's out there. As that clip from their last scandal, the damage is done, my friend. Like, it's already out there. In this day and age, everybody has a recording, a screen capture. You can't scrub anything from the internet. It exists forever. So the reality, though, is I do think at the core, this team is teetering. I won't say mutiny, but I think it's teetering on falling apart, teetering on being much uglier than you would have possibly ever dreamed when that Gatorade was being dumped on Gerard Mayo a month ago, right? Like, I thought 0-17 was in play, and then I had to acknowledge the victory on week one. Now it feels like not only is 0-17 in play, you're like well on your way, right? Like, this feels far more negative than 1-3. No. I feel like 0-17 somehow is on the horizon.
It's back
even though
on
it's
the
not
table.
Possible. Even though it's not physically possible. You won a game. It doesn't feel like they won a game. They're teetering. They're teetering on something, and they feel it inside. And I think that's why they scrubbed it, because they do know it's such a critical juncture early in Gerard Mayo's tenure, and the culture and all of these things they've talked about is being questioned really, really quickly. It didn't go this bad for Matt Patricia in Detroit this quickly. It didn't go this bad for Joe Judge in New York this quickly. Didn't go this bad for Josh McDaniels. Kind of Denver went pretty bad. Denver won the first.
They went 7-0 or something to start.
But wasn't that after he had the disputes with Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler?
Got
rid of him.
But then it looked like it was working. So
yeah, kind of went bad, and then he salvaged.
That.
Yeah, and then it went really. But this is worse than we've seen of any other Belichick. Offshoots.
Yeah,
branches.
True. None of those other guys had to replace Belichick, though. They didn't have to come in for him. So I think that may have something to do with it.
Sure.
But really, I mean, listen, you're talking about a bunch of guys, and this was always the criticism about all the Belichick disciples, is that they go off to their new jobs and they try and act like Bill, and they didn't have any of the credentials to do it, didn't have the resume to do it, didn't have the aura to act like that, and the teams would tune them out. Mayo's not doing that. Mayo's doing the opposite of that, and it's going even worse. Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, we're only a month into this, and listen, I don't know for sure that the locker room here is worse than Patricia's locker room was in Detroit or any of the other ones you just mentioned, because I wasn't there and I don't know. And I know that none of those guys were super popular. I know that they all, I think, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way pretty quickly. And that's just, you know, based on reporting that came out, and some of it's probably exaggerated after the fact. But it's worth pointing out again, that is not what Gerard Mayo did here. Gerard Mayo didn't come in here and try to be Bill. He came in and tried to be the anti-Bill and do things considerably differently, and sometimes I think purposefully differently than Bill would ever think to do them. And yeah, it's so far not going well. But really what's not going well is the team sucks and they keep losing. And I think that this game this weekend, Andy, you said must win. I'm right there with you. And it's not must win for any sort of seasoned football thing. It's must win for Mayo. It's must win for his culture, his plan, his message, all of that stuff. That's all on the table this week.
And it's doable. That would be the we couldn't call it a must win game if it was, I don't know, the 49ers coming to town, right? But the Dolphins, where they're at right now, not scoring points, historically bad offense through the first month of the season, no quarterback, all the things they're going through, including their own internal turmoil about Tyreek Hill having to answer questions if he still wants to even play for that team. And I think that's the big takeaway here. It's kind of simple, right? Losing is undefeated. It always it breaks you.
Right.
It breaks everybody. I don't care whether you're a bully.
Losing
I don't
is
care.
Undefeated.
Yes, it is. Right?
It's being a fortune cookie.
Right. Put yeah, it on a t-shirt. Fitz, you'll sell it. We saw it break Bill Belichick last year. Losing broke him. Mm-hmm. It broke Mac Jones. And Bill Belichick's a great winner and stoic and all these things. But he was a hardo. And now we have the opposite personality. We have the open, smiling, young guy, everything. And it's crashing down around him, just like it crashed down around all those guys I listed, Patricia and McDaniels. And how you make decisions here is going to decide how long his tenure will be and how well he can steer this ship and avoid the turmoil and avoid walking the plank, to continue with Lazar's mutiny interpretation. So I don't think you can overemphasize how critical this game is. And you said it, not to finish 10 and whatever and make the playoffs or anything like that, just to right the ship. It's like they make these things called like sea keepers, that when a boat is rocking like crazy, you push a button and it's got like a gyroscope and it levels it out. They need one of those. They need to push a button for the gyroscope to just stop the boat from rocking so bad, because if it rocks any much more, it feels like it's just going to flip right over.
What if they like play a good game and lose? Is that even possible against this Dolphins team? Like, what if they go back and forth?
No.
It's kind of a high scoring game. The offense is running. They're actually scoring. Brissett looks okay. Maybe May gets in the game and they're scoring points, but they end up losing. Like, is there any way to salvage that?
No, because I think we'll be saying, why did the defense allow all these plays to an offense that couldn't get, you know what I mean? The Dolphins are playing so poorly right now. If you tell me the Patriots play well, so they run the ball, they play defense, they do things on their terms, there's some play action boots, the Patriots win the football game. Now, I don't know if they can do all of that. I don't know if they can tackle Hill and Waddle, right? That's the start of the game plan on defense. Make sure you don't let GTFB and don't let those guys make big plays. But no, there's no moral victories in this one. There's either a bad loss or a much needed win.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I agree. I mean, if May comes in the game and plays and looks okay, I think that could be the one thing that maybe gets people to sort of switch over, like a new topic. Maybe they do that. You know, maybe they're like, we need to change the subject here. We need to get people off this mutiny thing. Let's get May out there this weekend. I could see that. You talk about changing the narrative, that'd be a good way to do it. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Ed in the car. He's got a thought. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, Gerard Mayo or Elliot Wolf, who walks the plank first?
I think Wolf.
I think Elliot Wolf is further down the plank just because of the left tackle thing.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to universally blame him for the roster. And remember, I did that poll the other day. Who do you blame for the early struggles on offense? It was the roster made by Elliot Wolf. Yeah, and it gets harder for him, too, without May playing. Much of his offseason for last year, forget about what we think about left tackle or did you lose out on Calvin Ridley. If you get Drake May on the field, whether it's for, that's a great idea, by the way. Does this change Drake May in any way? Do they decide, we need a good feeling, we need a buzz, we need whatever, and all of a sudden in the third or fourth quarter, Drake May's on the field, despite reports that he's not ready to go because get it out there. Make people look over here. Tell them to stop worrying about all the other crap. But that's also Elliot Wolf's biggest asset for his, did he have a good offseason? Well, if Drake May plays well and Drake May's the quarterback, Elliott Wolf is fine.
Right, because if May goes out there and sucks.
Then Wolf took another step down the plank.
The
now it's
mutiny,
bending.
The mutiny.
It's like bending.
You yep. finally put in May. He's terrible. He gets destroyed. Like, yeah, that could be. We always talk about how no one ever talks about the possibility of May being good. Well, this is one of those weekends where if May does go out there and all the worry warts, and we're like, oh, you can't put him behind the line. Oh, he's going to get killed out there. You do that and that happens. Then I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much further lower you could go because things are down at the bottom right now. You're bottom of the barrel type stuff with the Patriots here against the similarly bottom of the barrel Miami Dolphins team. In fact, Ross Tucker called it the battle for the basement, and yet the Patriots still favored by, I think, 1 point. I think it went from 1.5 down to 1 point. The over-under still 36.5. Hammer that under, I'm telling you. But, yeah, we'll get into why the Patriots are still favored in this game, which is amazing, and some updates to the offensive line that are certainly not good. We'll get to all of that right after Stiz tells you.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
What's trending? After that first game, it seemed like maybe there was something here. Now it seems like they're the worst team in the league. Would you agree that they're down at the bottom at this point?
No, not until the battle for the basement on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
So it all comes down to this.
That was Ross Tucker with us on Tuesday. And I'm looking at FanDuel right now, and it's back to 1.5. I guess on ESPN it was at 1, -1, but FanDuel still has them at -1.5. +1.5 for the Dolphins, -120, -1.5 for the Pats is -102. Neither one's really favored. Like, I guess Dolphins on the money line's -102, Patriots are -116. The over-under there still is 36.5. However, no matter where you look, unless you want to tease it somewhere, the Patriots are the favored team. This weekend, home game, their second home game so far, against the Miami Dolphins, who are a rudderless team right now without their quarterback. They have been in the media anyway in Miami talking about how this past week has been a better week for Snoop Huntley, and he's been looking good in practice and things like that, which you haven't really been hearing at all, I don't think, in New England. Like, I sort of was thinking about that the other day, and it's different, obviously, because Miami's going through this quarterback crisis, but all throughout the weeks, like, do you hear Gerard Mayo or Van Pelt or anybody coming out and being like, wow, we really killed it in practice this week. Like, things are really looking up. I can't wait to unveil some of the things we were working on in practice. The one play I could maybe even think of that would at all sort of satisfy that was that hook and ladder play last weekend, the one sort of trickery that you saw. And I'm sure they practiced very hard despite that block in the back from Tyquan Thornton. But that's it. I mean, other than that, it's been a pretty basic offense, and no one really speaks about them like that. At the very least, the Dolphins are like, yeah, you know, we got this backup quarterback. He's looked a lot better this week in practice, and we're feeling a lot better about him going into this week. What do the Patriots feel better about?
Nothing. And I hate to be a broken record, but it all goes back to the offensive line.
Yep.
I feel like every week, Caden Wallace is on IR, and we're talking about Brian Hudson starting at center, and the fact that Mike Onwenu might have to go to guard because Laydon Robinson is out. Like, every week, it's a new starting offensive line. AVP talked about it the other day. A new left tackle. Now you lose your best captain offensive lineman. And I really do believe that is the anchor that's kind of dragging this team down, both, you know, tangibly on the field, because what's AVP going to do?
Right.
Like, what play? You tell me. I know you dabble. You dabble on your Madden playing with the game book. The game.
I'm
plan,
all
the
NCAA playbook. 25 these days.
Okay,
yeah.
So NCAA 25. What play do you call when your line is horrific? Which play is best suited for a terrible offensive line that can't block anybody?
I would go screen to the running back. That usually, you know, the line falls apart right away. Everybody's blitzing. You just pop it right over their head. Boom, take it to the house, something like that. That's probably what I'd be going with, screens until they figure it out, and then you're porked after that. That's basically it. You throw as many screens as you can. They finally figure it out. The line keeps breaking down no matter what, but at least on a screen, like, that's part of the plan. Like,
right.
You know, I'm not supposed to block this guy. I'm going over there to block the linebacker or whatever it is that you're doing on the screen, and that's pretty much it. I mean, that's what we were talking about last week. Well, how can you move the ball at all against the 49ers, and it was just, well, throw some screens, I guess. And this team's not a good screen team.
They're not a good screen team, and I would love to know what the record for most screens in a game is for a team. Like, you can't run a screen however, what do you have meant on 60 offensive plays? You're going to run 60 screens. I feel like it would diminishing returns at some point. You really would lose the value of the screen.
Might as well go for the record. It's not like the season's going to be anything different. What's the record for screen passes in a game? Try and break it.
Let's break it. We're going to hold a record for something. We can't go 0-17, so that record is down the drain. Let's go for the most screens. I don't think Alex Van Pelt is doing a good job. I want to be clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if Bill Walsh could scheme anything up with this offense. And he created the scheme they're using, the West Coast, right? It's one of those, what do they call those circles that overlap, the three circles, and then there's that middle point.
That's called the Venn diagram.
Yeah, it's a Venn diagram of crap. Crap is the middle, and it's like O-line crap, talent crap, QB crap, coaching crap, and they all just overlap, and it's just crap left in the middle. That's the part that
counts
them
all. Now, that's a T-shirt idea right there. I'd buy that. I'd buy that at the pro shop. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls in just a second. Why do you think the Patriots are still favored? What do they know out there in the desert? What's going on here?
Because I think people are weirdly more negative about the Dolphins than the Patriots right now. Now, that could have changed a little bit last night with
that's
the whole
because
mutiny.
They scrubbed the audio. It's because they know the rest of the world never got to hear it. Good job,
yeah,
everybody.
No one heard it. Imagine how big this would have been if they had not scrubbed it. No one could have heard it. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I think there's a weird trend of negativity that is greater with the Dolphins right now. And I think no one wants to bet on the Dolphins. Did you know they're the 39th team since 1990 to score 45 or fewer points in their first four games? There's only been 39 of them.
I didn't know that. That's something.
It's 39 years. It means there's only one a year, maybe, and that's the Dolphins with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and Mike McDaniel. So, the bloom is off them. And all the numbers, I think McDaniel's now 1-9 without Tua, something like that. I know there's no faith in the Patriots, but there's really no faith in what's going on in Miami, and I think they are toxic right now. So I think trying to get anybody to bet on the Dolphins on the road in New England, it's like, okay, we'll give you a point and a half. Now will you bet on the Dolphins? And
yeah.
I'm not sure that's even that appealing.
Yeah,
I wouldn't touch this game with a 10-foot pole, personally.
I might jump on the Dolphins if I get any plus money at some point this weekend, because I don't know. I'm much lower on the Patriots than I am on the Dolphins, and I think the Dolphins are a mess. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to David in the car. He's got a thought on the locker room. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking the call. So I do believe the locker room is worse than what it was before. And the reason I say that, we all know that Bill Belichick didn't put up with nonsense. I think the problem with some of these newer coaches, and I think Gerard is doing this, they're too worried about being a player's friend, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you can't. You know, I mean, I play the sport, not football, but I play professional sports. And there has to be a line between the coaches, the managers, and the players. And it's a line that doesn't get crossed. And when players get to the point where they think that the coach is being friendly with them and that he's not being strict enough, you lose a lot.
David, you're an older guy, right? To interrupt. You're an older guy, right? Was Red Auerbach and Bill Russell friends?
To be honest with you, because I was in Europe at the time when they were together, I didn't get to see a lot of them.
All right, I'll answer for you. I wasn't even alive, but I can tell you the answer to that question is yes. I understand what you're saying, David, but I mean, I do think that there are instances where Andy Reid's a player's coach. Andy Reid's not some strict authoritarian. And by the way, Bill Belichick last year maybe should have been a little friendlier to Mac Jones. You know, maybe that would have not had everything implode on itself if there was a little bit better of a relationship there, and if Bill wasn't such a jerk all the time to everybody, which, by the way, wasn't working for this team and didn't work for the last four seasons. It didn't work when Tom Brady wasn't here. It wasn't some winning formula. Now, I know people miss Belichick. I think that's a reasonable reaction when you have a bad start to the year. But let's not act like the Belichick way was something that was working no matter who was in the building and who the quarterback was. It worked with one guy, and it worked great with that one guy, for sure. I mean, listen, it was the greatest thing of all time when it comes to the NFL, but let's not act like that was some golden rule that every day, no one else, you can't do it any other way. That's just not true.
And more specifically, the line between players coach, hardo coach, what is more blurry today than it ever was. Like, your school. Look at Colorado.
Yeah.
You think there's some blurring there with Deion Sanders, the way he runs his program?
Well, it depends if you're related to him or not.
100%. Or from, Travis Hunter.
From his loins or Travis Hunter, yes. Then right. You get treated differently.
Special exemption. But I don't – the days of the Hardo coach are fading for a million reasons, and we don't need to get into it. And the reality is at all levels in all sports, it's not that way anymore because – a lot of kids will just tap out. Young men will just tap. No, I'm not going to deal with this. I have a place where I can go. You don't own me anymore. Whether it's, you know, NIL in college or whatever. Like, you're not in that, oh my God, I got to please this coach because it's the only way I'm ever going to play and this is the only way I'll ever have a career. That mode is long gone. So, and I think the Crafts, in part, hiring Jerod Mayo, were acknowledging that. And we're going in that. And I don't think it was just typical overreaction to the last guy was a jerk, so we're going to have player friendly.
No, this guy's good at this, right? Yeah.
He's good at it, and we're in an era where you need to do this, right? Like, and not just in, hell, not just in sports. Aren't we in, you see all those videos with like middle managers put these videos up of like dealing with employees and like some woman calls in and she's like, I can't come in today because I was in line at Starbucks and then I spilt some coffee on my shoe, so I'm not going to make it in. And the manager's like, excuse me? Like,
I've not seen these videos, but I'll take your word for it.
There's these managers that, and I'm taking them at surface value because I do believe there's a lot of this. Like, there was that video. Remember the girl crying about getting home late? It was her first job. And she was like, and I don't get home till 5:30 and then I have to eat. And when am I supposed to go to the gym and have fun? And it's like,
I think we have different algorithms. I don't know these videos you're talking. I believe they exist. I just don't think I've seen them.
I'm afraid of your algorithm.
This sounds like a boomer rage bait is what you're describing.
It might be. It might be. Whatever. But I just think to say you're going to just have. And Andy Reid's a great example. He is not a dictator. He is not. If anything, you hear Patrick Mahomes talking about, you know, the behind the back pass and those. Andy eggs me on. He wants me to do those.
Loves
he tries
stuff.
To get me to do those. Yeah. Like, he's not this dictator that you might think he is because he's been coaching for 35 years. So, in theory, Jerod Mayo's way is probably forward-facing, is more modern. But just because in theory, I mean, you still got to execute it, right? And I'll go back to, you also still have to have the right people in the locker room. Because no coach can overcome 53 bad eggs or even a big chunk of the 53 being bad eggs. Belichick, go back to that 2009 you referenced, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
2009, that team had some bad eggs, did not have some true team first Patriot players. And what happened? It left Bill Belichick, the greatest authoritative coach of all time, with his arms crossed saying, I just can't get this team to do what I need it to do.
Yeah.
Right?
And then Ray Rice ran all over him, and that was that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We had Jelani Tavai, and he was on the morning show. He was asked about this whole situation with the mutiny or lack of mutiny. We have audio from all throughout the day, really, that we're going to play. But this Tavai thing stands out because we got scrubbed. That's right. Right here at WEEI, there was a scrubbing going on. We'll get to that right after this. It's Jelani Tavai talking with the Greg Hill Show this morning. And they were hanging out with Jay Leno. Did you hear that this morning? Did you hear Leno?
I did, and all the cars. And Whitney took a ride in some fancy Bentley thing.
I tried watching it. The video kept breaking up at the end there. But I was watching Wiggy. He walked out of the bar they were in there, the restaurant. And I saw him walking down the street. And then I had to go do something, but I didn't actually get to see him drive the car. I remember when he drove the boat, like 100 miles an hour or whatever that was. So
best
I was wondering if he was going to do that again, if he was going to drive like outrageously fast in a car while swearing. But I guess that didn't happen. That was from this morning. They asked Tavai about the mutiny and everything, and he said, well, you know, you're going to have to ask Coach Mayo. They asked about the quarterback, and do you believe that this quarterback is going to give you the best chance to win again? Going to have to ask Coach Mayo about that. Now, for all the crap we've been giving the Patriots today about scrubbing some audio, there was a little bit of a scrubbing that went on here at WEEI, which I feel, in the interest of fairness, is worth acknowledging right now. It wasn't quite on the same level or even really as close to what the Patriots did, I don't think. But there was – did you happen to see this, Andy? So this morning I woke up and I checked Twitter, as I always do, and I saw that clip. I saw the Tavai clip we just played, and the caption for it said, Jelani Tavai, in all caps, refuses to endorse Jacoby Brissett as the starting quarterback. And I saw that. I said, ooh, that's sexy. What's going on here? And I tapped on it, and it wasn't – like it wasn't like a refusal, you know? Like it was, he sort of just dodged the question. I wouldn't say he outright refused to endorse anybody. He kind of just said, hey, it's not my decision to make. I don't know, you know, whatever, which is a little bit different. And I think there's a distinction to be made there. And I guess Boss Man Laird nixed it. So he said, no, 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 that's not the caption that we want. Took the post down, put a new one up, and had a different caption. So again, that's not the same as cutting a piece of audio completely out of a podcast. But in the interest of fairness, I mean, we are ripping the Patriots here, and we did a little scrubbing of our own, just a little. It was more like a little pick me up, you know, like a do over. I think that's different from just cutting audio right out.
Yeah, we didn't remove it. We kind of tweaked the presentation.
Yeah,
like it was the meal was the same, but we put it on a cleaner plate and just because. I'm kind of with Boss Man Laird. That was a little clickbaity, if that's what it said. Refuses in all caps to support the quarterback or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a little clickbaity. He did. I mean, wouldn't you answer it that way? If you're Jelani Tavai, who you're not a star by any means.
And you're not an offensive player either.
Right. Yeah. But more importantly, like, if I'm Micah Parsons and I have a problem, I'm going to say what I want to say.
Right.
If I'm Aiden Hutchinson, I'm going to say what I want to say. If I'm Jelani Tavai, who's carved out, I mean, I was cut by the Lions, I was claimed, and now I've carved out a nice career where I've gotten a couple contracts, and now I'm elevated to a certain position because Bentley's hurt, but I'm still going to say, you know what, I'm just going to worry about my side of the ball and make sure, and he did that. He went on to say, I'm just, you know, hoping to line us up and make a few tackles over the course of a game. That's what I would say, too. He doesn't need to be stepping in this issue, especially, you know, everything is going to be more magnified by the game, by the week. And Evan Lazar got caught up in this, but it's going to continue. People are going to, what did AVP say? Because I actually did it yesterday. Remember when I said I thought he kind of intentionally avoided the plan? He like veered off and just didn't really talk about the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was coincidental, or maybe there's a new approach to what they're doing. I think all of these things are going to be overanalyzed and microanalyzed until Drake May plays or until this team starts winning, one or the other.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that when something like this happens here, it's like blood in the water, you know, like,
yeah,
okay, you guys are scrambling a little bit. You guys are panicking. You guys are feeling the pressure. You talk about blocking out the noise. Is there a better way to announce to the world that you have your antennas all the way up, like to the freaking moon, than to be scrubbing your own media podcast? Like, it's just, there's no other way to more clearly state that we're shook, you know, like we're right. Over here. Things are going badly. We're aware of it. We're in damage control. We're trying to spin everything. We're cutting audio out of our podcast. Like that's a pretty big indicator, you know, like there's no hiding that.
I'm not going to say it's 100%, but don't you think if something is truly worthy of being cut out of a podcast, it would be cut out before it was posted?
Like, yeah, but it's also, it wasn't it live too? It isn't a stream live.
Oh, is that why it was? Okay.
I think it was streaming live, too. I'm not positive about that, but I think so.
Because I would think, like, even Alex Barth, who's his co-host on the podcast, would be like, do you really want to say that? Like, I would say that to you live on the air. If you said something ripping Odyssey, I'd be like, hey, you want to mulligan? You want to walk that back? You want to fix that? Clean that up a little bit? You know what I mean? Like, I would try to help you out if I think you crossed a line.
Right, but I would never say anything bad about Odyssey, ever.
Well,
come on.
Because you're a smart guy.
That's right.
Well,
and Odyssey is a fantastic company, and we're doing very well.
Exactly.
So I would never say anything.
So it almost, but if I didn't realize it was a live podcast, that makes a little bit more sense. Okay.
I think that's true. I don't know that for sure, but I think that's the case. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go down to Rhode Island. Talk to our good friend, Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Sorry I didn't participate yesterday.
Where were you?
We very deeply missed you.
Where the hell were you?
No, you don't deeply miss me.
I do, Paul.
We did yesterday. We both did.
When
we got into a fight over
it. Snooking, you guys make fun of me. That's okay.
Well.
But listen, I do make great points once in a while, and I'm about to make one now.
Okay, this is a big build-up here.
We'll see.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. I think that Van Pelt spoke well today, that these guys, he walked into these guys that have been here for 2 years. They didn't do their job against San Fran, which I understand. It's a great team. But what I'm disappointed in is that Wolf didn't come down from the hierarchy and come down and say, listen, I gave you your money and you didn't do your job. Here's the deal. Many six Super Bowl times, these guys waited 2 years, 3 years in line, and they came through. I'm not going to name him because you're probably going to name him better than I am. But here's the deal. You know, Jacoby is not at fault at most of this.
Okay, thanks for the call, Paul.
I don't want to be in that participation.
Oh, good old Paul.
Love you, Paul.
It's thanks not for Seth's calling. Fault. His call screener said something about the payroll being low. It should be down with the other bottom feeders and things like that. I don't know. I mean, they have more cap space than all those other teams, that's for sure.
I love when Paul calls and he goes through like a minute of his call, and then he hangs up, and you tell us what he meant to say based on the call screen.
I try to put it through a Paul to English dictionary and get as much of it as we can. But that one, even that one, he's like, yeah, you guys could probably name it better than me. And I don't know what he was talking about.
Nope.
I don't know where he was going or anything else. Anyway, Paul, have a great weekend, my friend. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. In the next hour, we're going to hear from Greg Bedard, who says that he's hearing that Drake May is not ready to play. It's not that they feel bad about putting him out there. It's not that they think the offensive line is going to get him killed or the wide receivers aren't ready or anything. No. Drake May is not picking up the offense fast enough. He's not ready. He's not progressing maybe as quickly as they'd like. That's a take that I haven't heard much of lately. We'll dive into that and your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com